We've been talking about the Word of God. How many of you believe the Word of God is powerful? How many know we said it's seed, right? And we said it never returns void. Never is a very long time, right? It'll never return void. It'll always accomplish what it's sent to do. The Word of God is indestructible. It's incorruptible. And that seed of the Word of God has to go somewhere. And so we're going to begin to look today at your heart, at your soil. Because no matter how good the tomato seed is, no matter how good the pepper seed is, no matter how good the cucumber seed is, until you get it into some soil, it'll never grow. And the same thing is true with the Word of God. It's living, it's indestructible, it's powerful, and there's seed. And everything, you know, so really you could say this, from Genesis to Revelation, this is a bag of seeds. And that seed, though, has to go into your soil or into your heart. Thank God that it's on your, I mean, we can get the Word of God anywhere today. It's on your phone. You can get it in your iPhone, your Android, your iPad. You know, back in the day, it was only in a book. You know, it used to be even in a book. Some of you remember those big old family Bibles that were on the tables there. And, you know, they were pretty. And, you know, that's all they were decoration. Well, I fear to say that some people, the Word of God is still just kind of like, it's out there and it's seed and it works. But until you put it in you, until you get it in your soil, it can't grow. So it doesn't matter how good the seed is. How many know the seed's good? How many know the seed always works? But you got to put it in you in order for it to grow and produce. Do I got any people in here who want a 100-fold return? Amen. Amen. People ask me all the time, do you believe in a 100-fold return? I believe in a 1,000-fold return. But we're not just talking about money. You know, Pastor Robert was talking about the seed finances, and we believe that. But also, really, even that, you've got to incorporate that. You've got to encapsulate that with the seed of the Word of God for it to grow. The seed. Thank God for the seed. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the power of it. It never, ever returns void. So listen, if the Word of God never returns void, if the Word of God always does what it's sent to do, and God, because he could swear no by no greater, he swore by himself, and he's faithful to his word to 1,000 generations, if we're coming up short in any area, why? Why are we coming up short? Well, I want to talk to you about the soil or the heart or our side of it today. Because really, if that's where people fail to receive, it's because of not planting the seed, because the seed can't fail. I said the seed can't fail. And so if there's any failure, we don't like that, do we? Do we like to say, well, I could, you know, but see, that's the whole thing with God is people like that it's all up to God. People love that. Why? Why do people love that? Why do they misinterpret the sovereignty doctrine? Because sovereignty to them means, well, if it doesn't happen, it was just God's fault. If the word didn't work, if I didn't receive my promise, well, that was just some by way, that was just God's idea. Because, you know, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he's silent. Well, that's not true. You can't find a scripture for that. Yet humanity loves that. Why? Because then it's all on God and you have nothing to do with it. But unfortunately, if you read the good book, that is not true. Especially in the New Covenant, it is really more up to us than it is up to God. Because his word can't fail. And so where's the failure? It's not being planted. It's not being watered. It's not being watched after. It's not able to produce. Because if you can get it in your soil and you can do what the word says, it'll produce some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Amen. The promises of God are what? So, they're what? Yes, hope so, maybe so, don't know. They're always what? Yes, and so be it. So where's the problem? Well, I know you don't like it, but it's in me, it's in you. And if we can do some things, do you want some help in that area? I think I've got the right group of people, right? And so we're going to look at the heart. And so, you know, immediately I thought we were going to go, and we will start here, because the seed has to get in the soil. And Jesus said, if you understand this parable, you'll understand everything. You'll understand it all. And so we look at the parable of the sower, and that's found in Matthew 13, Luke 8, and Mark 4. And I always like to preach out of the Mark 4 account and then pull from the others. And I really thought this morning that's where I was going to go. But as I was meditating on the word over the week and really just kind of putting pen to paper, yes, I still use a pen, and yes, I still use paper. And so, and then somebody types it up for me. But the truth is, as I was meditating on it, I really got kind of stuck on this word, cardia, heart. And the word of God says that if we can get the seed into the cardia or the heart, then that's when things happen. And we're going to eventually look at that. But we've got to, the sower sows the word. Where does he sow it? He sows it into your heart. You've got three gates to your heart. You got an eye gate, you got an ear gate, you got a mouth gate. And that all goes into your heart, to your cardia. But I want to tell you this. I want to start here. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll start at verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 4. These are very powerful scriptures. Use them quite a bit. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20. My son, attend to my words, or you can say, my son, attend to the seed. Incline your ears unto my saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Everybody say heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep or guard your heart, say heart, with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. So the Bible is saying very clearly that the heart, which we're going to see in a minute in the New Testament, is called cardia. You know where that word comes from. Anybody ever heard of, you think of cardiac arrest. I don't like that one. Let's think of, cardio. Y'all do some cardio? Yeah. What does that cardio do? Yeah. What does that cardio do? It gets your heart pumping, right? It's talking about the organ. But that word cardia is very important, and I'll just go to it right now. I want to give you the definition of that word cardia in the New Testament. When you see heart, it's not always cardia, but most of the time it is. And so that's found in Strong's in the number is 2588, and it means the thoughts or feelings, by analogy, the middle. The heart. It also means this. It's the heart, mind, character, inner self, your will, your intentions, the center. And so the Bible is saying in Proverbs chapter 4, if we pull it over into the New Covenant, it's saying out of your cardia, this is not the word there, but it's saying out of your heart, the center of you, out of the center of you flow the issues of your life. So listen, if you don't like the issues of your life, you have to change what's in your heart. If you don't like what your flesh is doing, if you don't know like what your mind is thinking about, if you don't like the results of your life, it's not trying to change something outward first, it's trying to change something inward. Now there is Jesus said this in three different places, and he said this. He's talking about how you can find out what's in someone's heart. I heard people say to me, they say this all the time. I heard them say this, well, you can't really know what's in someone's heart. That is so untrue. It's just untrue. You can't know someone's heart for maybe hanging out with them an hour because they'll be on their best behavior. I always tell young couples when they're going through my premarital counseling, I was like, look at each other. This could be the best they'll ever be. Can you live with that? Because everybody's on their best behavior while they're dating. But when you say I do and you go home, you're like, who are you? I mean, so if this is the best they're ever going to be, can you live with it? The truth is, though, a lot of people think, well, I can never know, I can't even know my own heart. That's not true. Jesus told us how we can know what's in someone's heart. Very easy. Luke chapter 6. How can I know what's in my heart? How can I really know what's in there? Luke chapter 6, verse 43. For a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of the thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his cardia, out of his heart, brings forth that which is good. So good treasure comes from the cardia, and that's so if it's good, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his cardia brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? The mouth speaks. How can you tell what's in your heart? By what's coming out your mouth. And what I mean by coming, and what he means by coming out of your mouth, is what comes out on a regular basis. In other words, what comes out while you're not at church. You can go hallelujah and amen and praise Jesus for an hour. But what do you do while you're waiting to get on the arsenal and you're late? Praise Jesus. Or, you know, whatever. Yelling at people. You can be nice to your spouse while you sit by them and lovingly look at them while I preach to you. But how do you talk to them at home? Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth leaks. When you get squoze, I say this all the time, but when you squeeze an orange, you get? When I squeeze you, what should I get? I should get belief, because you're a believer. You see, you really can't tell what's in you until pressure comes. I don't know what's in you. You don't know what's in you. And so really, when pressure is on, what leaks out of your mouth is what's in you. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks or leaks. Now, would I rather you go around saying something positive in my presence or other people's presence? I would. But you see, this is an area you can't fake. People try it, or they get around and they hear positive confession teaching. And how many of you know, I'd rather you put your hand over your mouth and only say what the Word of God says. But if you want to change what's coming out of your mouth, you have to start on the inside, not the outside. Everybody wants us to always start on the outside. You know, and I think, you know, if you have a mouth monitor in your life that you've given permission for, I think that's great and you should have that. But a mouth monitor can't fix your heart. Unless that mouth monitor is, you know, you're speaking the Word of God and it's changing what's in your heart. This is really powerful, really important. Because we're going to talk about your heart today. We're going to talk about the cardia. We're going to talk about the center of you. And can we tell what's going on the inside of us? And I'm not going to say just you, all of us. All of us, Matthew 12. Verses 34 through 37. O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasures bring out evil. But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth does what? It speaks. Matthew 15:18. But those things, verse 17, do you not understand that whatever enters into the mouth goes into the belly and cast into the draught? Because remember, they used to think what defiled them were the specific things that they ate. And Jesus said, that's not what defiles you, but those things that proceed out of your mouth come forth from your heart, and those are the things that defile you. In other words, if your heart is defiled, your words that come out of your mouth are defiled. And so what the Lord, how many of you know, the Lord even said this, we use this to teach on praise and worship, he said, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, they do worship me in vain. What is the Lord after? What is the Lord after? He's after the center of you. He's after the cardia of you. When I think about center, I want you to think on some things with me, because I want you to understand what I'm talking about. When I think of cardia, when I think of the center of you, it's the core. Like it's watermelon season, and I always love to eat the heart of the watermelon because it's the best part. And so I used to, when we first got married, we wouldn't buy the cut up kind already. We'd buy the bigger one because it was cheaper. And so we'd cut it in half, and then we would then put tinfoil over it. And Rhonda would come, and she's like, "You ate the heart of the one." Well, that's the only part that's good. I ate the center. Baseball season. Hit a home run when you hit the sweet spot, the heart of the bat. I just want you to get, it's the center of you. And I want you to understand that cardia, because when we teach on this, especially in our circles, we go to Romans 10, 9 and 10 and Mark 11, 23, which is where we're going to end up today. But you know, because the Bible says, with the heart, man, with the cardia, man believes unto salvation. Jesus said, whoever shall not doubt in his cardia, but believe those things that he says, they'll come to pass. So with the heart, with the cardia, you believe. Now, I want to show you some things, because there's a whole lot. When I look at your cardia, when I look at the center of you, this is real important. When I study the Word of God, and I've been doing a lot of it for about 5 years, I've been meditating on this for a long time. Because there's something about this that we've got to get to get some understanding that'll release us into walking in freedom in a higher place in faith. Because I think sometimes you and I think we believe with our born-again spirit, with our pneuma. You got pneuma, your spirit. How many of you know you're a three-part being? You are a pneuma, you have a psuche, and you live in a carne. How about that? You have a pneuma spirit. You are a spirit. You have a psuche, which is your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you live in a carne. You are carne. You live in a carne. You're meat. You live in a body. And yet, he said, you believe with your cardia. That's not any of those. You think that's just in there? But you believe with your cardia. What is the cardia? The cardia, I believe, contains your pneuma and your psuche. It contains your spirit and your soul. And it's intertwined. How do I know it's intertwined? Hebrews 4 and 12 says only the word of God can divide between spirit and soul. It's intertwined. Your spirit and your soul, that's the part of you that lives forever. How many of you are glad that you're getting a new body someday? Mine is about 165 pounds, and it's about 21 years old looking. Forever. Oh, don't you laugh at me. That's what I'm getting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyway, but Jesus said, the word of God, Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, that you believe with your cardia. That's the center of you. So there's a whole lot more going on, because if we only believe with our born-again spirit, how did Caleb do it? How did Joshua do it? How did the woman with the issue of blood do it? How did Jairus do it? None of them were born again. And they were able to believe God. What did Jesus say to the woman with the issue of blood? Your faith has made you. What did he tell, you know, Jairus? He said, don't be afraid. Only believe what? Believe what you already said. And what happened? Jairus' daughter was dead and was raised from the dead. Listen, I'm going to get there, but I'm going to get a little ahead. I want to give you this. You and I have an advantage that Jairus didn't have. You and I have an advantage that the one with the issue of blood didn't have. You and I have an advantage that Caleb didn't have, and Joshua didn't have, and Moses didn't have, and all those people in Hebrews 11. God lives in you. You're born again. You're born of God. You're an heir and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got a helper living on the inside of you. We ought to be able to believe God nothing flat. But I think if we understand what's going on in the cardia, in the center of you, with where you believe. And I believe in the cardia is where your born-again spirit is, and I believe that's also where your soul is. And so we believe with the heart. So we're going to dig into this a little bit. And I'm not trying to make this complicated, but I am trying to get you to see what all goes on in your cardia. Because as I began to study this, and I've looked at it over the years, and I've pondered it, and then I began to really study some things and write some things down I want to get to you. Again, what is the cardia? It's the center of you. It's the middle. It means the middle. And that's where we believe from. But there's a whole lot of other stuff that goes on there. Other definitions say it's the heart, the mind, the character, the inner self, the will, the intentions, the center of you. And so I did this study, and everywhere that there were some places in the New Testament where cardia was, I looked at what was going on around it, and I came up with these 12, and there's others, and I had all the scriptures listed out, but if I went through every scripture, because I had 2 to 5 for every one of them, we would never get done. So I want you to listen with your heart of what goes on in your cardia. Y'all ready? Because I think if you get this, I think if you understand this, then you'll understand how other things affect your faith. Because if all we did was believe with our born-again spirit, then we wouldn't have to do anything with our mind, our will, and our emotions. And it wouldn't be a big deal. But because we believe from the center of us, and they have all believed. How many of you know before you were born again, you weren't born again? You understand? Were you able to believe? Because you had a cardia. Well, it's just a special thing that happened. No, because they've always been able to believe. Faith's always worked, even before the new birth. Faith in who? In someone. And in the Word. Faith in someone and in who has always worked. Now you and I should have such an advantage. Because someone moved into your cardia. Someone lives in you. The greater one lives in you. The teacher. I wish I walked when Jesus walked. Why? He lives in you now. He never lived in there. Yeah, but he was face to face. He's better than face to face. He's in you. We have an advantage. Come on, do you have an advantage? We've got it. Okay, these are some things. So I studied them out. What happens in your cardia? Well, it's the seat of one's moral authority or nature. Desires happen in your cardia. Affections. Perceptions. Perceptions happen in your cardia. Your perceiver lives in your cardia. Thoughts. Understanding. Revelation happens in your cardia. Reasoning powers. Conscience. Your conscience is part of your spirit. It lives in your cardia. Intentions. Purpose. Will. And absolutely your faith comes out of your cardia. I want to give you some scripture. And so we need to go through these kind of quick. But I took those 12 and then I just pulled out a few of some things. I want you to see what the Word of God says about your cardia. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 4. It says, but let the hidden man of the cardia. Because remember he's talking to women about what they wear. But he's saying it's the hidden man of the heart. That's where your beauty comes from. And so even though that's written to women, it's also written to us. That you have the center of you is not the outside of you. It's the cardia. It's the hidden man that no one can see. But it's also the part that lives forever. It's the hidden man of the heart. Romans 6:17 talks about obedience from your cardia. How many know you can obey from your flesh, but that's not where the Lord wants you to obey from. He wants you to obey from the center of you. So I'm trying to build a picture. I'm trying to show you how big and important the center of you, the cardia of you is. There's so much that goes on there besides your born-again spirit. It's the center of life. Remember Proverbs 4, it says, out of your heart. Old covenant, but you can pull that over new covenant. Say, out of your cardia comes the issues of your life. How can I tell what's going on in my cardia? By the words that I'm speaking. By what I'm saying. Because words also produce actions. I can tell what's in my heart. The great thing is, and we're going to get to it in weeks to go, but I can then change what's in my garden. I can change. Because see, the cardia is like a garden. It's your soil. It's the hidden man of the heart. He wants you to obey from it. Let's talk about another garden real quick. Anybody remember the Garden of Eden? What were Adam and Eve told to do? Adam was told to guard the garden. You and I, guard your garden with all diligence. Now what he said? Just like he told Adam, guard the Garden of Eden with all diligence. Why? Because that was where the issues of their life were flowing from at that time. Now you've got a garden on the inside of you. You've got a soil on the inside of you. And really, truthfully, no demon, no person, no influence can mess your garden if you're guarding it. If you're guarding your garden, you gardener, guard your garden. Guard it with all diligence. And if, you know, if you're married, what me and Pastor Rhonda used to do, because I remember one time she told me, we were having a little fuss on a Wednesday night many, many years ago when we first got married, 20 some odd years ago, and she said, Adam, be careful what you allow in the garden. And the Holy Ghost helped me, and he said, Eve, if I let one by, just don't talk to it. What's trying to get in your garden? Snakes, the devil. Your heart is your garden. Guard it with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of your life. What is God wanting to do? He's wanting you to see it's the hidden man of your heart. He wants you to obey from your heart. Ephesians 1:18 talks about understanding. That word understanding in your understanding is in your cardia. He enlightens your cardia. Ephesians 4:18, talking about the world, it says the blindness of their cardia. Their eyes are blinded. It's the cardia. 1 Corinthians 2:9. You remember when it talks about eyes not seen, ears not heard, but what is entered into the cardia of man? So God wants to enter into your cardia things that other people can't see. The world can't see. The world doesn't know. 2 Corinthians 9:7. You know, talking about financial giving. He said, you know, give from your cardia. Not just from your wallet. He wants you to give from your cardia. He wants you to give from the center of you. He wants you to tithe. He wants you to give offerings. But he doesn't want just the physical act. He needs it to come from your cardia. He needs it to come from the center of you. What's God after? He's after the center of you. What's he after? The garden. If he controls your garden, then he can give you the abundant fruit that he wants you to have in your life. But if your garden's messed up, if your soil is messed up, if the cardia of the center of you has things in it, what shows? By the words you speak, by the actions you take. And so, yes, let's watch what we say, but then let's be more focused on the inside. The Bible says you work out your salvation. That doesn't mean you get to choose what it is. Oh, you just need to work your salvation out. That's not what it means. It means it's on the inside. Work it to the outside. Work out your salvation. It's in your garden. It's part of your cardia. You're born again. Now it wants you to affect and influence the rest of the stuff that's in your cardia, that's in your heart, that's in the center of you. Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God guards your cardia and your mind. So again, God wants your garden guarded. He wants your heart guarded. Hebrews 4:12, we looked at it. It says, only the word of God divides between soul and spirit, or it divides between cardia and psuche. It's important for you to understand what's going on in there. Are y'all with me? There's something about the center of you, where you believe from, that has a whole lot of other stuff in it. It's where you're... See, if you understand that, then it'll the word of God going into your cardia then will influence your will. It'll because see, it's not just about my faith. It's about my will. It's about my character. It's about my intentions. Yeah? It's about the purposes of my life. It's about my understanding, my perceptions, my conscience. When I put the seed in and it goes into my garden, it's not just affecting my faith. It's not just affecting my born, it's not just growing and strengthening my born again spirit. It's also dealing with the other stuff that's in the center of me. And when the center of me gets full of the seed and that seed begins to grow with the word of God, then it changes what comes out of my mouth. then it changes my attitude and my actions. Why are we always trying to work from the outside in when God works from the inside out? That's like people saying, well, I'm going to clean up my life, then I'm going to come back to the Lord. Well, quit trying to do that. Well, I'm going to just get my flesh under control. I've got some things going on. I'm just going to clean up my flesh a little bit. Then I'm going to get back in church. Well, we'll be waiting. But the truth of the matter is, give back to God and let Him clean it up. And then you begin to work on your garden. You begin to work on your soil. You begin to work on your cardia. You begin to work on the center of you. And so there's some things as we begin to prepare for the seed of the Word of God to come in. Now, you've been getting seed. But the truth of the matter is, there is no time in your Christian walk with God that you can just ignore your garden. That you can just ignore the center of you. That you can just kind of go along life. No. This is the battleground of our lives, is the center of us, the cardia, because the devil knows out of it flows the issues of life. What's he trying to throw in there? Well, the Word calls it tares, offenses. Because see, it's encapsulated, your cardia is your born-again spirit, but all this other stuff too. And so the devil is trying to get stuff in there and sin and unforgiveness and you let me down and blah, blah, blah. What's he trying to do? He's trying to sow things into your heart, into the cardia, so that your spirit will not be dominant. And he tries to choke the Word. He tries to choke out the seed of the Word of God. Y'all, it's garden time here. And I tell you this story all the time, but, growing up in Illinois on a garden, and I was in 4-H, and I remember, I was supposed to grow these things and then take them and get a ribbon. I don't remember. But one year we went somewhere, we went on vacation, and I had worked in the garden, kept the weeds out of the garden. We were gone for 2 weeks, and I came home, and it was full of weeds. 2 weeks full of weeds. So what I do? Well, I'll just let it go. And so, but you can't do that with your life. Ah, the weeds won. I am what I am. I'm just a man. I can't help it. Whatever. If the Lord ain't going to do it, then, who am I? This is wrong. What goes on in your life, if you'll take care of your garden, if you'll take care of your cardia, the center of you, out of it will flow the issues of life. And then when you hear the Word, when you sow the Word, and when you speak the Word, and when you read the Word, and when that seed gives into your heart, it'll begin to produce some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And then you'll have the abundant life. Then you'll have the life that God has promised and prepared for you. So it's not all up to God, it's up to you. So what do we got to do with our heart? Well, to get it ready, the Bible talks about in Hebrews 3, let's just go to Hebrews 4:7. In Hebrews 4:7, it says this, again, he limited a certain day, saying today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. How many of you know, if you're going to throw seeds onto a ground, it can't be hard. What will happen to that seed when it is thrown onto hard ground? It's like throwing it on concrete. The seeds grow on concrete. Even if they're watered, will they grow? They won't. They have to have some soil. They have to have a place to take root. And so here, this group of people, they saw signs, wonders, and miracles. They were led up out of Egypt with silver and gold. Wasn't any sick or feeble among them. When God tried them to go get them to go into the promised land, their hearts, they were full of unbelief. But their hearts were hard. And because of their hard hearts, what God was saying to them, it couldn't grow in them. It just grew in Joshua and Caleb. And the next generation was able to get the promised land. Why? Because their hearts were hard. They did not have their cardia, what we would call the cardia, was not able to produce so they could go and get the promised ground. So Hosea 10:12 says to do this, to break up your fallow ground. Who's got to break it up? You've got to break it up. Will the Holy Ghost help you? Oh, he will. Oh, he will. But who's got to break up your heart? Who's got to prepare your heart to receive? Only you can do that. The Spirit of God will help you. James 4:8 talks about purifying your heart. Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. That tells me, though, so there's some things I've got to do to make my heart ready, the cardia ready to receive. 1 John 3:20 talks about if our heart condemn us. What's condemning us? Your conscience. Where is it at? It's in your cardia. And so we can't live a condemned life. How many of you know who's trying to condemn you? The devil's trying to condemn you. Why? So he can close up your heart. Why? So that when you sow seed into it, it won't produce. There's so much going on in your cardia that the devil is trying to get avenues in to choke out the Word of God. Because the Word of God doesn't just grow your faith, it affects your will. It transforms your mind. Your mind is not in your brain. This is your brain, right? It's the organ. Spiritually, the mind is within your cardia. I think we think, my mind is up here in my brain. No, your mind is in your cardia. Yes, you have thoughts up here in your brain. Does your brain function? It's good. I'm glad you got a brain. Use it. But your mind, what the Bible's talking about, that's within your cardia. That's what must be renewed. Your thoughts, your intents, your will. And that's all in your cardia, which is your soul. And so the Word of God will affect all of it. And if we can get all of it affected, then our spirit takes dominance and we're able to walk in the Word of God. And we should be able to walk in faith, just like the woman with the issue of blood, just like Jairus, just like Caleb, just like Joshua. And even greater. Come on, greater works. Even greater. Even greater. Amen, even greater. Amen. James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, he deceives his own cardia. What's the devil trying to do? He wants deception in your cardia. You know, some of the Lord told me one time, the hardest person to help is someone who has deceived themselves. Because the devil's deception can be unmasked. But when someone, in other words, they believe their own lies, they've told themselves something about themselves for so long that now they believe it. And it's almost impossible. So why does the devil do that? Because he really wants to mess with your cardia, with the center of you. Because out of the center of you flow the issues of your life. If he can get someone self-deceived, who won't listen to anybody. Anybody tries to help them. You know, nobody even likes constructive criticism anymore. Don't criticize me. Nobody likes input. When you get to the place and I get to the place where we can receive no input, self-deception is there or right around the corner. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Why? Because it so affects the center of you where you believe from. This cardia contains your, I believe, your born-again spirit and your soul. And it's the place from which you believe. Romans 10:9-10. If a man believes in his heart and does what? That's cardia. And confesses with his mouth, Lord Jesus raised from the dead, he will be born again. So from your cardia is where you believe. But it's not the only thing you do from your cardia. You will never forget cardia. I've said it so many times. It's working in you. And it's changing the way you look at yourself. Let's look at Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his cardia, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. So obviously your faith comes from the center of you, but it's not the only thing that comes from the center of you. And if we can get all these things, different ones, and as the Lord leads you and guides you and shows you what you're working on in your soil, what you're working on in your soil, the center of you, where you believe from, working on all these, it's affecting the Word of God, then is affecting everything. And then this is what I have come to understand and believe. I keep using these same people, but if Caleb, Joshua, the woman with the issue of blood, and just Jairus, and so many others who are in Hebrews 11 and throughout the Gospels, if they could believe without being born again, and you believe something without being born again, it got you born again. You have such an advantage. I have such an advantage. Because now within my cardia, I'm born again. And then somebody moved in. The Holy Ghost. The helper. The teacher. You see, it shouldn't be harder for us. It should be easier for us. It should be easier for us than the woman with the issue of blood. It should be easier for us than Jairus. It definitely should be easier for us than Joshua and Caleb. The principles we learn from them work. But you're born again. I'm born again. And so within my cardia, I am born again. And yet I believe from the center of me, from that place in God that God has given me, and I can receive all the promises of God that are yes and amen. And I'm going to learn what affects the center of me. And so I can get my cardia ready. So now when I sow the seed of the Word of God in there, I mean, my soil is clean. I've pulled the weeds out. I've got the stones out. We're going to look in at the four types of soil, probably some next week. But I've dealt with it. And then when I plant it, I'm realizing that the Word of God not only affects my faith, but it affects everything that's in the center of me. And I'm not going to just, am I telling you just let your flesh alone, let it do what it wants? I'm not. I'm saying, though, if you really, truly want to change your life, then you work from the inside out instead of the outside in. And when you do that, life will get better and better. Amen? Amen. Well, I hope I've challenged you a little bit today on this holiday weekend. I don't know what you're going to do tomorrow, but I hope you'll think about it. Because I think I've said cardia enough today that you'll not forget that word. Don't go next time you do some cardiovascular training, remember about your inward man, your inward cardia. Amen.